Good morning. It's good to be with you. My name is Jesse Robinson, and I'm a pastor here at Trinity. If I have not met you, I look forward to doing that. One of my favorite things about living in Virginia is that fruit grows on trees. I'm from the Great Plains of Texas, where there are no native trees. It is grass everywhere. We have a saying that you can look further and see less than anywhere else in the world. We don't have trees. We certainly don't have fruit trees. In Texas, where I'm from, fruit does not come from trees. It comes from grocery stores. But here in Virginia, fruit grows on trees. I can drive to any number of orchards and pick cherries, apples, peaches, straight from the tree. And fruit season goes from March until October. Forget money growing on trees. Fruit growing on trees is a miracle to me. And fruit trees are the most beautiful trees, not just for their appearance, for the promise of delicious, healthy, sweet fruits they have to offer. I like to say that fruit is God's natural dessert. So I want to begin today by imagining two trees. Can you close your eyes if you need to? Imagine the first one, a beautiful, mature apple tree. The trunk is thick and sturdy, the branches substantial, and you can see the beautiful, vibrant green of the leaves, and yet against that contrast, the pink and red apples, clusters, 20 even, in a bunch, just waiting for you to pick. Now I want you to imagine another tree, a sick tree. The trunk is barely 3 inches in diameter. The leaves are the wrong color, too dark, withered. What apples are on it are shriveled up, rotting, with flies buzzing all around it. It looks and smells ugly. All right, you can open your eyes. As we go through our passage today, I want you to keep those two trees in your mind's eye. James will be instructing us on two different kinds of wisdom and its fruits. So let's jump into the passage. This is James 3, verses 13. You can look on in your bulletin or in your Bible. James 3, 13. This is the ESV. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be false. Do not boast to be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, would you give us vision to see Jesus, that he is the true wisdom from above. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're currently in a series through James entitled The Testing of Your Faith. James is deeply concerned that our faith is real, that our faith is true, authentic, and he's given us many tests to test our faith by. We've looked at good works, the test of mercy, last week the test of the tongue, controlling the tongue. But today, James is interested in another kind of test, the testing of our wisdom. In fact, wisdom for James is very close. It's almost a stand-in for faith. Faith and wisdom are almost identical. Both bear fruit through works. So today, James' word for us is this: wisdom's roots are known by the fruits. Wisdom's roots are known by the fruits. I want you to say that with me. Wisdom's roots are known by the fruits. So first we'll look at the roots of wisdom, and then we'll look at the fruits. James begins this with a searching question in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? What a question. Who is wise? What is wisdom? These are questions that often go unasked in our information age. For all the facts, details, and data that we have at hand, there's a dearth of wisdom. It's almost as if wisdom is optional in our culture. But the biblical view of wisdom is quite different. With wisdom, the stakes are nothing less than life and death. You know where folly leads in Proverbs? It leads to the grave, to death. So these are high stakes here. But James does not contrast between wisdom and folly. Instead, James pits two kinds of wisdom against each other. Their origins differ. We have the wisdom from above, and we have the earthly wisdom. One is rooted above, the other rooted below. Now, the wisdom from above is rooted in humility. Look at verse 13, the rest of it. By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness. Humility. And here James is drawing on a deep Jewish wisdom tradition. The preeminent book of wisdom, we've already quoted it, Proverbs, locates the roots of wisdom in the fear of the Lord. Humility before the Lord. Now, fear is not a very good association for many of us. So let me paraphrase this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What the Proverbs are really saying is that the beginning of wisdom is humbly knowing your place as a creature and having proper awe, respect, and worship for the glorious God who made you. Wisdom begins with the obvious recognition that you are not God, that God is God, and that you owe everything to God. That is biblical wisdom. It begins there. The meekness of wisdom recognizes that God alone is wise. Now, earthly wisdom has a radically different root system. James calls this root system earthly, unspiritual, demonic. This is James' version of Paul's unholy trinity of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The earthly, James says, it represents a creation that has rebelled against God, against its creator. The earthly seeks wisdom apart from God, a worldly wisdom eager to get what it wants. The unspiritual, that's akin in Paul to the flesh, that is what is opposed to God's spirit, the rebellious principle that resides in each one of us after the fall. And finally, the demonic, well, that refers to the activity of the devil, who originally rebelled against the Lord. And why did the devil rebel? He was jealous of God and ambitiously wanted to be God. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. It's devilish, the fruits of earthly wisdom. Now, friends, I want us to have a capacious understanding of what wisdom is. There are any number of earthly wisdoms. A wisdom could just be a lived theory about life, about what is most important, beautiful, and true. The acquisitive materialism of keeping up with the Joneses, that is an earthly wisdom. YOLO, you only live once. And general hedonism, that is a general wisdom, an earthly wisdom. The spiritual but not religious, who names her truths, earthly wisdom. Those on the political left and right who sacrifice everything for power to enact their messianic agenda, earthly wisdom. But for all the variety of earthly wisdoms, I don't want us to miss this. But in James, there are only two different root systems for wisdom. One begins with reverence and respect for God, and the other does not, and ends up serving the self and Satan. To quote Bob Dylan, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Where is your wisdom rooted? But before we answer that question, we must first reckon with our tremendous capacity for self-deception. James warns us of this in verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. His hearers thought they were wise, but they were false to the truth. In other words, they were self-deceived. The tragedy of the fool is that he thinks he's wise. The scriptures call this being wise in our own eyes. And that, my friends, is our default setting. We come out that way. My three-year-old is wise in his own eyes. I am wise in my own eyes. So how do we know wisdom? How do we know if we're deceiving ourselves and being utterly foolish? How do we have the wisdom to even know what wisdom is? And this leads us to our second point, the fruits of wisdom. Wisdom's roots are known by its fruits. Notice James locating bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in verse 14 in the heart. So we need a quick biblical anatomy lesson here. The heart was the seat of the whole personality, the control room, the CPU, the sanctuary, the temple. What goes on in the heart is what matters. And that would manifest itself in behavior, in words, and thoughts. So in our tree analogy, the heart is the soil in which wisdom takes root. The problem is, though, you can't see the roots. You can't see the soil. And that's why James has us reason backwards. We can't see the roots, but we can see the fruits. We're going to reason backwards from the fruits to the roots. James is merely applying this test that he learned from his older brother, Jesus. Listen to Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. In other words, what Jesus is teaching us here is the tree is known by its fruit, and the same is true of wisdom. So as we let's look at the fruits of wisdom here. And we're going to look at it at three levels: attitudes, action, and aftermath. Attitudes, action, and aftermath. And as we do this, remember that James is testing us. So I want to throw out many questions to you. So we actually get at different ways to do this. So know that there's going to be a lot of questions here to help us try to understand this. So first, what are the attitudes of earthly wisdom? He says in verse 14, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Bitter jealousy or inordinate desire. Do you look around at what other people have? Money, success, kids, a job, a nice house, and do you want it passionately? Are you bitter that they have it and you don't? Are you bitter at God for not giving it to you? Bitter jealousy. Selfish ambition. Do you care too much about your own advancement? Are you constantly thinking about yourself, getting what you want? Are you selfish, desperate for others' affirmation? And those attitudes lead to action. Selfish ambition and bitter jealousy produce boasting and lies in verse 14, which makes sense. Ambition and jealousy lead to self-promotion and deception. Even as they deceive others to look better, they themselves are self-deceived. And then action leads to aftermath. And probably the most devastating verse here, verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Disorder and every vile practice. That is the aftermath of earthly wisdom. Disorder, confusion, disarray, and practices that are disgusting, demeaning, impure. Does that sound like the world we live in? So let's consider now the wisdom from above. What are the attitudes of the wisdom from above? I'm going to take each word in verse 17. So just follow with me in verse 17. It says, wisdom from above is first pure. That is unblemished. No corruption, no hypocrisy, just simple, innocent, and pure. Peaceable, peacemaking. There's no bitter jealousy here. No roots of bitterness. Eager to make peace. Gentleness, or being considerate. How can I help you? How can I serve you? That is the opposite of selfish ambition. Do you spend time thinking about how to help others? Are you harsh in your dealings with others? Gentleness. Open to reason. Isn't that fantastic? It is a gift of the Spirit to be reasonable. To be reasonable, to be willing to yield. Because in humility, I am open to being wrong. I'm open to being convinced. Would your spouse say that you are open to reason? Your roommate, your parent, your friend, your child? Impartial. Remember James 2:1? My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God is impartial. He is not partisan, and neither is wisdom. Wisdom is unbiased, non-judgmental. It's able to see things and people the way they really are. Impartial. And finally, sincere. Wisdom is not hypocritical or double-minded. It's not cynical, confused, or morally torn. Wisdom is earnest, simple, and pure. And these attitudes of heavenly wisdom, they lead to action, which is why James says, full of mercy and good fruits, practical acts of mercy. Mercy is not oriented to the self, but oriented to others with empathy, compassion, and service. And if we could take the actions of the heavenly wisdom, I want to go back to verse 13. It says, by his good conduct. That word good is actually the Greek word for beautiful, handsome, eminent, excellent. Wise actions, you can see them in real life, and it is beautiful. That is the action of heavenly wisdom. And the aftermath of that wisdom, the wisdom from above, is in verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. A harvest of righteousness. Can you see that? The bucket's full of apples and peaches. And it's righteous. That is a community in right standing with God and to each other. A community at peace with God and with each other. That is wisdom from above. And wisdom above takes root. It bears a harvest of good fruit. Now remember those two trees that we began with. The first has roots in earthly wisdom. Out of those roots grows a withered trunk of selfish ambition and bitter jealousy. It has large cavities in the trunk, missing bark, stubs where branches have died and fell off. The crown is not full, but it has a couple of jagged branches. There are thorns of boasting and deception. Its fruit is disorder and vile practice, worm-infested and rotting, filling your nose with a putrid stench. But friends, can you imagine the other tree? Rooted in the wisdom from above, it's founded upon a sturdy trunk of humility. You cannot see the branches from the vibrant, verdant leaves that cover the crown and the bunches of red and pink apples. Which tree are you? What wisdom are you rooted in? What fruits are you producing? So what do we do if there's bad fruit? You're anything like me, if you read this in James, it starts to hurt. Starts to hurt. Well, we can't just simply remove the bad fruit because it does nothing but the tree. That's treating the symptom and not the disease. How do we get wisdom from above? How do we get wisdom from above? Friends, we can't get wisdom from above. It has to get us. It has to come down to us. The wisdom that comes down from above, James says in verse 15. The wisdom that comes down from above. Wisdom is not a knowledge or a method. It is a person who has come down to us from above, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, and because of Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God. Jesus is the wisdom that has come down from above, which transforms the way we read verse 17 now. It's all about Jesus. James says, wisdom from above, that is Jesus, is first pure. Do you see the radiant purity of our Master, the purity of a heart that burned for the glory of his Father? Then peaceable. Jesus is the great cosmic peacemaker who brokered a peace with God and man and between man and man. He is peaceable, gentle. Jesus never responded with inordinate force. He took great and tender care with the wounded. Open to reason, submissive. Jesus submitted himself fully to the will of his Father, even submitted himself to death on a cross. Full of mercy and good fruits. Jesus' entire ministry was one of mercy, feeding the hungry, healing the sick. He was kind to the last, the least, and the lost. He was merciful, impartial. Jesus is the impartial judge before whom each one of us will have to give an account of the deeds done in the body, and sincere. Jesus had not a hint of deceit, double-mindedness, self-deception. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is the wisdom from above. This should make it abundantly clear that without Christ, there is no wisdom. You cannot have wisdom without Christ. You cannot have wisdom without Christ first having you. But what if we have Christ and we still find the bad fruit of earthly wisdom? Friends, no matter how mature, how holy and sanctified you are, we are always at risk of believing earthly wisdom. The meekness of wisdom actually understands that and humbly admits it. Driving to work, and I catch myself scheming about how I'm going to advance myself, promote my reputation. At home with my children, I find myself not impartial, but favoring one over the other. And when I discipline, I don't find myself gentle, but harsh. In my arguments with my wife, I'm not open to reason. And instead of sincerity, there is subtext, totally on my terms. Those fruits reveal an earthly wisdom that has taken root in my heart. And when we find that bad fruit, we take a lesson from trees. There are two basics to the health of trees: watering and pruning. Healthy trees, especially fruit trees, require a lot of water. It is true of heavenly wisdom as well. And you know what wisdom's water is? It is the Word of God. Listen to Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Are you rooted in the Word? Are your roots deep enough to survive drought or a plague or a pandemic? Does God's Word go so deep in your heart? Is Jesus such the meditation of your heart that you spontaneously break out in song? Poetry, music comes out of you. We need water. But healthy trees also need pruning, cutting and clearing off bad growth, removing branches that cannot hold weight. We also need spiritual pruning, and that's called repentance. In fact, that's how James ends this section in chapter 4, verse 8. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Friends, we dare not prune ourselves. Instead, we bring our bad fruit to the Lord, humbly casting ourselves upon him. That pruning will hurt for a time, but we can be assured there will be a harvest of righteousness and peace. Let's pray together. God, you are the only wise one. You know all. You see all. Lord, would you make us truly human, recognizing our place before you, that we are merely created. We are merely a creature. Oh, Lord, and I pray that your Spirit would help identify the bad branches, the bad fruit that we so often produce. Would we not be satisfied with that? Lord, but would we allow you to prune us, to make us beautiful, to make us delicious and tasty to you, who delight in us, O Lord. And we pray, O Lord, the Trinity Presbyterian, that we would have a harvest of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. In the name of Christ, amen.